Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, He loves you. Thank everyone again for tuning in and being a part of this ministry that's trying to connect the resources for the wellness of the community. And we have been just blessed tremendously by everyone's input, comments, and the ability to just give us an opportunity to enlighten and share some things for people to experience wellness in their community. And as always, we've always just want to thank God for everyone that continues to tune in and listen in every week. It's a great blessing to be able to share with you on a regular basis. Reb B just dropped in. He flew in from the sky, and we thank God that he was able to get here safely. Reb B, what up?
Pastor C, how you doing, my brother? Happy Sunday to you. It's a good day, brother. It's a good day.
We
made it another Sunday, and we just thank God for the day. Flying across town.
Yeah, I knew you were flying. I knew you were flying. I saw the parachute coming.
So I made it here. So we thank God. It's been a great weekend.
Amen.
And thank God for the day. I had a chance to be over Eastern community over there in Landover, Maryland, Pastor Briggs, Damian Briggs.
Okay.
There this morning. We had a great time.
All right.
Great time. Talked about successes even in failure.
Okay.
So it was a good word, and we thank God for the word and just thank God for the very fine people over there. And it's been a great weekend, so I'm very happy about that. And, of course, we know we have another hot topic tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, we thank God for you coming out on Saturday, where we had our 8th annual prayer breakfast. And Rev B, he left a little bit of the place over there. We was at the AKA building in Upper Northwest D.C. I think they might be
following your lead.
I think they were.
You know how they say, like, father, like,
yeah,
I was
yeah,
just
yeah,
following
yeah,
your lead.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all. You opened up the floodgates, and I just ran on through.
Right. We might be getting the invoice for them for a little bit of concrete repair,
little structure
reinforcement. You know. But
it was
good.
And that was a real prayer breakfast.
Yeah,
by the way, that was a real prayer breakfast. I tell you, the spirit was high, and you know, everybody just came in there, and you could just feel the presence and feel the spirit of the Lord. And, you know, people came and they prayed fervent prayers.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
There were some prayers that were going up. So we thank God for everybody that played a hand in that, you know, the Heart of God Baptist Church. You know, you all did a great job. We want to thank Mother Strickland for doing a great job
and doing
that, and the food and everything was just beautiful. And
she's 80 years old,
right,
still kicking,
you know, and people just left out of there blessed. So it was a great event. Nobody was rushing to leave, and we just took our time and let the Lord have his way. And you know, Pastor City, that's what it's all about, just coming together and fellowshipping and lifting up the name of the Lord. And just, you know, embracing his spirit, because, you know,
absolutely,
when we feel that spirit of God, you shouldn't be in a rush to get nowhere. You know, but we definitely had a great time. And I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to be able to come and to share, because it truly was a blessing. So I thank everybody for coming out yesterday and supporting.
And on this coming Saturday, we're having our August free day. We are really excited over at Heart of God. The deacons are buzzing. I got a couple calls tonight from the deacons.
Amen.
Getting the clothing ready, the book supplies. They got a table that set up in the vestibule. It's overflowing with school supplies. They're getting the flyers ready, getting people geared up. They're calling people tonight. And that's going to be on August 18th between the hours of 11 and 3. 11 and 3. So we're going to try to set up about 10 o'clock and just get a lot of information out to people. They're going to be having clothing, school supplies, free hot dogs. Just want to try to give parents a hand up on the preparation that's needed for kids to go back to school. And so get the word out. It's going to be at 7100 Chesapeake Road in Landover Hills, Maryland, down by Suite 205 and 206. And we're just excited about what's been going on. Since I think this will be our third one, our fourth one, and it's amazing that we've been on the air for 4 months, and it's just awesome to see what God has done through the vision that he has given. And I just want to ask Rev B to thank our very fine listeners, as he often does.
Oh, yes. You know, we have to start off every show with thanking our listeners. I tell you, Pastor C, it's just a blessing to be able to go back and see just the numbers every week, and people are just pouring out their souls and going back and listening to the show whenever they get a chance. And so we are so very thankful for everybody who goes back and listens to the archive shows. If you're just able to call in or listen, whatever you're able to do, you know, reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. I mean, all of it is so appreciative. And we realize that, you know, you don't have to do it, but you choose to do it. And so we thank God for that, because I tell you, you know, without the support of our listeners, this ministry wouldn't be excelling in the direction that it's in. So we're very thankful for our listeners. And don't forget, as always, hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter. Facebook is Pastors Aid, that's Pastors with the S-A-I-D. And on Twitter, it's PACDC316. You can hit us up on either one of those. And also, don't forget, if you want to hear any of the shows from the first show back in April up until tonight, you can go back and just log into blogtalkradio.com/Pastor's Aid and just go down to the on demand, and you'll be able to see all of the shows from every Friday and every Sunday that we've done. Since the first show we did back in April. So if you want to catch up on something, or you want to go
back and re-listen
to something, and now that we've edited some of the titles, so now we have the actual topic. So if it's something that, you know, you missed, or something you want to hear again, like the relationships or opportunity.
HIV, AIDS.
I mean, we got so much stuff that we've covered. Go back and listen to those shows, and we see that a lot of people have been doing and so we're so very appreciative of that as well. So please, ma'am, please, sir, whenever you have time, always feel free to log in Blog Talk Radio. You'll find us @Pastor's Aid, and you can go back and listen to all of our shows. But we definitely do appreciate all of our very fine listeners for your continued support.
Thank you, Rev. B. We are going to talk about a very really hot topic tonight, and in the, you know, the advent of us sending our children back to school, one of the things that I believe every one of us have faced, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Rev. B, is the topic of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Bullying,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I believe that every school district should have in place is the means to help prevent bullying. And one of the websites that we're going to be referencing tonight is stopbullying.gov. That's stopbullying.gov. And what it does is it gives a professional outline and guidelines of what bullying is, cyberbullying, who's at risk for bullying, how to prevent bullying, and how to respond to bullying. It also has the ability to direct us in the place where we can get help. And one of the things that I've been going through as we were preparing for the show, Rev B, is that there is a comprehensive a download of a program or training, a guide, where anyone can get with their school district or their local school, local principals, find out what they're doing concerning bullying, and try to implement something along these training guidelines to get everyone involved, from the teacher, the parent, the students, the community, to have an area, a time, and a place where everyone can get educated on bullying, and not only get educated, but also put a plan into action of how to deal with it. And one of the things that the government, the FBI, the Department of Education are trying to do is to try to get everyone involved, because when everyone's getting involved and people's attitudes begin to change, then what happens is bullying begins to become less and less. And the reason why this is such a hot topic, Rev B, is because statistics have shown that when children are bullying or are bullies, what happens is they become what we call a detriment to society or our community. In other words, those that do bully are more slated to prevent violent crimes, to start violent crimes, to have substance abuse. And then those also who are bullied are more susceptible to mental anguish, mental problems, also to drug and alcohol addiction. And one of the concerns, is not the most concern, is suicide, where children actually commit suicide from bullying, from the effects of bullying. And also they are more predisposed to do other things. And so as a community that wants to experience wellness, I believe that we all need to participate in getting this bullying under control. Now, the thing about, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this cyberbullying, bullying is going to lead to suicide or bully side. But the statistics show that, you know, that is not the only thing that leads to suicide. So this is not the number one factor towards suicide. But it does play a role in kids being more apt to suicide, more apt to depression, more apt to drug and alcohol use. And so it's vitally important that going back to school, that every parent, I said every parent, get involved with your children, get involved with your teachers, get involved with the staff administration, and see what kind of anti-bullying program is in place. And if there is not one in place, to make it your responsibility, amen, and the resources are here, we're going to give you the resources of how to put something in place, and then not only have it in place, but to continue it. That means that it's not going to be a one-time thing. And then also how to assess it and to see how it's working, and have that as a continuing basis. Also have areas where during the year that students can come, teachers can come, people can come, and they can get retrained and get equipped to be able to deal with it. Because when everyone is involved, that's when this I would call it almost a plague that plagues the lives of our children, that prevents them from studying, prevents them from reaching their potential. It's almost like a plague that keeps them from reaching that place where they need to be, because someone is bullying them, because someone is scaring them, because of someone's bullying and scaring them, they don't want to go to school because it seems like teachers don't care, parents don't care. Even with those people that are struggling with physical handicaps, I know my niece, Jessica Gregory, she was bullied because she had spina bifida. It also talks about this in the StopBullying.gov training manual. Those people, gay, lesbian, transgendered folk that are in the schools, they're being bullied. Whether you agree with their lifestyle or who they're having sex with, they shouldn't be bullied. And many of the things that are going on, Rev B, are against the law, because you have the right to express yourself in all your civil rights, and you have the right to be in a harassment-free environment. And so when the schools don't participate and recognize that there are civil rights being violated, there are harassment issues there, you know, with the EEOC, you have to understand that we really need to bring this to the forefront and keep it at the forefront, so that our children, our teachers, can have an environment that's conducive to learning, and not have to worry about students scared and upset and threatened and harassed because of their religious belief, their handicap, whatever their belief is, that they should have a right to go to school and be unhindered toward learning. Rev B?
It's amazing that we live in such a great country, such as the United States of America, in that we have the platform and the freedoms to be able to express ourselves as we want. We don't live in a society where you are told to dress a certain way, where you're told that you can only be with certain individuals, where you can chose only to live a certain lifestyle. Everybody that lives in American society is allowed to be first and foremost an individual, which means that none of us are the same. The problem with bullying is, and this is the main reason why bullying happens, is because people have difficulty accepting things that are different. So, for example, you see a chubby kid, he looks different, so he gets picked on. See a kid with a physical disability, looks different, she looks different, he gets picked on. Small, short, little kid who looks like he's in the wrong grade or in the wrong school, Steve Urkel type, gets picked on. And so this is where bullying begins to manifest itself, is that we see that the people who look different and act different and are not considered to be a part of the social norm get picked on. Prime example, you remember back what happened in Columbine with Eric Harris and Dylan Clevo. Those guys were bullied. And they were bullied for 4 years of high school. Well, you imagine going to school every single day and being bullied. Bullied, why? Because you're not on the football team. You're not on the basketball team.
Not a job.
You're not a job. You're not involved in student government. You know, you're not in the chorus. You're not in the marching band. You're not on the drama squad. You're not on the debate team. You're just a regular old kid. But somehow or another, you're bullied because of the way you dress, the way you look, and what you're into. What you do is a little different than the norm, so you get picked on. But society says this is your right. You have the right to be able to dress.
To be different.
You have the right to be different. And so why should you be a victim of something that society allows you to do? And so these guys were bullied for 4 years of high school. Every single day, they were bullied. They were called weirdos. They were outcasts. They were all of these things. So eventually what they did, you said, you know what? We've been pushed to the edge.
Pushed over the edge.
Pushed over the edge. We're going to go to school, and we're going to shoot everybody we see. And sure enough, that's what they did. They killed 13 people. I think they hurt over 20-some people. And at the end, they killed themselves.
Wow.
Because of what? Bullying.
Bullying.
Somebody calling your name and calling you out every single day. You ain't done nothing wrong. You ain't bothered nobody. You just getting picked on because you are different. And when you see stuff like that happen, it all goes back to, at some point in time, these children were victims of bullying.
That's right. Absolutely.
Bullying.
Absolutely.
He was bullied on a college campus.
Yeah.
Couldn't have it. He couldn't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
You look at the school shooters in Ohio. Those kids were bullied.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what happens, which you just talked about. When you're bullied, you get pushed to the edge. And so you either commit acts of violence. You contemplate suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start getting into self-medicating yourself with drugs and alcohol and all these other things. But then most importantly, then you start bullying other people.
That's it.
And that's the formula that's always been around. People who bullied have been bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they say, people that go out here and physically abuse kids, at some point in time,
they were physically abused.
You know, so they're reciprocating what has been done to them because they assume that if it's done to me, then I've got to do it to somebody else. Prime example. I just watched something the other day about the band guy.
Yeah, from FAMU.
You know, and those guys said this. They said the only reason why they did it was because it was done to them.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it. And then they wind up killing somebody.
Hazing.
Because it's
hazing.
It's a rite of passage. And all hazing is bullying. That's all that is. You telling somebody to do something to make them stand out. Okay, you a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get bullied because you're a freshman.
Exactly.
Did I choose to be a freshman? No. But I want to come to school, and this is something that I have to do.
Right.
But I shouldn't have to get beat up or beat down to be
accepted.
To be accepted and to play in the marching band.
Right.
And literally lose
or the pledge.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, pledge to these, you know, sororities and fraternities and doing all this crazy stuff, and they're bullied. I mean, it was unbelievable to listen to the stuff that they were doing. I mean, people were coming in and, you know, they were bleeding on the inside.
Yeah,
internally.
Constant beating
over and over again. Didn't know when it was going to happen. Didn't know where it was coming
from. Or when it was going to end.
When it was going to end. You know.
That's terrorism.
This one guy said he was beat over 100 times with a 2x4, and people were hitting him like they were at batting practice. And so, Pastor C, we have to get into the mindset of, are we going to live in a society where people can be accepted for who they are and not fall victim to this bullying? Because bullying happens everywhere. I mean, it's very prevalent in our schools.
Yeah.
But guess what? There are forms of bullying that take place in the workplace.
Absolutely.
You know, it's everywhere. You know, it may be a little more discreet and a little more undercover. But it happens every day. But I see it firsthand working in the school system and know what it's like for kids to be bullied. If you don't look a certain way, if you don't dress a certain way, if you don't hang out with a certain crowd, you getting picked on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very sad to see that children just want to go to school. They just want to learn and get their education. But they got to worry about, okay, what's going to happen to me tomorrow when I come to school? And this is the truth. I had a girl in my class this year, this is the honest goodness truth, who refused to come to school because she feared for her life.
Absolutely. This is what we're talking about.
Fear.
This is what we're talking about.
For her life.
And the definition that the website, again, you can go to the website, the great information government website. It's called stopbullying.gov. Stopbullying.gov. And it's a great resource. Take about a couple, if you go from page to page, take you a couple of hours to go through it. Awesome information. But one of the definitions that they give for bullying. Because bullying is unwanted aggressive behavior among school-age children that involves a real, and this is key, or perceived power imbalance. The behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time. Bullying includes actions such as making threats, spreading rumors, attacking someone physically or verbally, and excluding someone from a group on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the word where it says it's either for real or perceived power imbalance. In other words, someone has the power over you to repeatedly and aggressively bully you or attack you or make threats or spread rumors or talk about you physical or verbally and exclude you from groups. It's something that has been done down through the years, but to me it seems like it over the years it hasn't gotten the highlight that it should have, exposure that it should have gotten, because now here we are in 2012 going on 2013 still suffering the effects of a society that says it's okay to bully people. And it pulls down our society. It pulls down our neighborhoods. It pulls down our communities when we have people living in our communities who are suffering the effects of being bullied. And you really have to understand that if we don't get involved and stay involved, all of those things that you talked about as far as kids fearing for their lives, the shootings that have occurred, if we don't, as a community, get together and begin to what the information says, we have to begin to start allowing people safe places to communicate what is going on, and then in those safe places begin to start putting things in place that would allow the community as a whole to address those items. And then as a whole, when we begin to start addressing those items of bullying, then you can begin to start making a difference. It's an exciting program that's out there. A couple of programs we're going to talk about a little bit later that are out there, and these are things that are not hard to do. It just takes time for people to get involved, Rev B, to do it. And again, you have to get involved. The students have to get involved. The parents have to get involved. And when everyone is involved, then it will begin to start making a difference, child by child, community by community. But the problem is, nobody wants to get involved.
No, nobody wants to get involved in
until it's too late.
And what we're talking about is what we're famous for here at Pastors Aid CDC is preventative measures.
Yes, sir.
We're preventing you from having to deal with a bigger issue, because one bullying issue will destroy a whole school community. One issue. Somebody can be pushed to the edge and come to school and rain terror on an entire school, an entire community. So what we're saying is take the preventative measures. If you know what's going on, if you don't know what's going on, but you know you have children in high school and they're making you aware of what's going on, get involved. You know, every school that I know of should have some type of anti-bullying policy.
And the parents need to find out.
And the parents need to find out. Because bullying, and most people don't know that, is more severe than actually fighting in the school. You know, that they look at...
Say that again, Rev B.
Bullying is more revered. I'm going to use a big word. Is more revered than actually fighting. Because they know that bullying has a much serious effect, more so than just physically fighting. So they look at bullying as being the number one public enemy, because it comes in so many forms and so many fashions. And the way technology is, and people tweeting and people on Facebook talking about one another and tweeting back and forth, is so much that goes on. The power of YouTube, I mean, all of these media outlets people are using.
Let me give you a definition for cyberbullying from the website. Cyberbullying is bullying that takes place using electronic technology. Electronic technology includes devices and equipment such as cell phone, computers, and tablets, as well as communication tools including social media sites, text messages, chat, and websites. In examples of cyberbullying include mean text messages or emails, rumors sent by email or posted on social networking, like Reb B said, Facebook, Twitter, and embarrassing pictures, videos, websites, or fake profiles. Now, the one thing that is really crazy, and you helped me out about this cyberbullying, is that the people that are doing it, taking videos with their cameras, kids getting beaten up, kids getting bullied, and then posting it on YouTube, Facebook, and have no inkling of getting caught or who they might hurt. It's just to look good or have this imbalance of power, so that they feel empowered, that they don't even care about the results. They don't even care about who gets hurt, what's going to happen to them, the time they're going to spend in jail, any of these things. And it is just crazy, because now that we're in the technology revolution, you know, they had the Industrial Revolution. Now we have the technology revolution. And what's happening is that technology allows people to be instantly connected to whatever social media that they want. And so they can bully, record it with their phone and post it, and people can see it right now. That is so harmful, not only to the person that's bullying, but also to the person that's being bullied, and to, like you said, a community as a whole, because we allow this type of behavior to be seen as it's the norm. Reb B?
You're absolutely right, Pastor C. It is. I'm not going to. It just perplexed me. That's what it does. That people will go out here and take their cell phones and record these fights, and in less than 2 or 3 minutes, it's up on YouTube, and everybody and anybody is watching it. I mean, just like that. And I've seen it. I've had students who've done it where they take these. Take their phones and all this other stuff, and then they just go, and then they start putting stuff all on the internet. Have no idea what they're doing. They figure they create these bogus accounts, put stuff on YouTube, or they send the file to somebody else's, or they send the file mass email to everybody else's cell phone, and you know, they just broadcasting it live. But this is all forms of bullying.
And it goes viral.
You know, and this stuff will come back and get you in so much trouble, because they can all trace it back to where it was sent from. And they have no idea. All they want to do is live in the
moment. Feel empowered.
Feel empowered. Live in the moment. You know, feel like, oh, I'm doing something. I'm making somebody else look bad, or somebody else to feel stupid or small or little or whatever. And you know, it should never be about that, because the same way that, you know, you're out here doing stuff against other people, it can always come back on you. And so you have to be very, very careful about what you're doing. And the cyberbullying it's just become a popular thing now, where people are just using technology to expose themselves and to expose others, and just to make people look bad. I mean, it's just unbelievable that, you know, bullying has just taken such a turn to this point where we're using technology as a means of doing bad things. And that's basically what is happening, especially with our young people. You know, they're using these cell phones and using these Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts and YouTube accounts to put stuff on here to show people being victimized, and to spread rumors, and to, you know, say stuff about people that are not true, you know, just putting out all these falsehoods. And so it's just gotten into the business where it's almost like a tit for tat. I'm going to put something out there, and then somebody else comes and says something else, and the next thing you know,
right,
you know, you got this big war going on between groups of people, you know, groups of people.
Let me share something with you, what they're saying about cyberbullying. And again, mothers, moms, and dads, you need to go to this website. You need to find this. You need to get involved. It's stopbullying.gov. But it says cyberbullying can happen 24 hours a day. Now, Reb B, you talked about those young men in Columbine that were bullied for 4 years.
4 years.
Cyberbullying takes it to another level,
mm-hmm.
where they might have been bullied, you know, during the school day, but cyberbullying can happen over 24 hours, 7 days a week, and reach a kid even when he or she is alone. And it can happen day or night. And can you imagine being bombarded by that 24/7, 7 days a week? Cyberbullying messages and images can be posted anonymously and distributed quickly to a very wide audience, and it can be difficult, sometimes impossible, to trace the source. So you don't even know where it's coming from. And then one of the things that we have to be careful with, even with our young people, is that deleting inappropriate or harassing messages, texts, and pictures, it's extremely difficult for them to be retrieved or after they've already been sent. And when you begin to understand the effects of cyberbullying, this type of 24/7 bombardment, it has effects on kids, and some of the effects are these kids tend to use drugs and alcohol more. They skip school more. They begin to start experiencing and doing bullying themselves. They're unwilling to attend school. They get poor grades. They have low self-esteem, and it even affects their health. So why are we as a society, as a community, don't have this on the forefront of what we're doing? It seems like sports. I'm gonna get in trouble now. The Olympics,
gold medals.
Our entertainment. You know, all of these things are seen as the most important thing for us to do. But the ability for children to be able to go and get an education in a safe environment. I always tell people I sent my kids to school to learn, not to fight. I sent my kids to school to get an education. But from as long as I can remember, Rev B, these type of things have been affecting our educational classes all through the years. So much so that when you look at some of the statistics and say at least 28% of the people going to school every year are bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a number that justifies everyone getting involved and saying, as a society, we're not going to accept this anymore?
Right. So every 3 out of 10 kids getting bullied, which is a lot. You know, but like you say, it's not on the radar. It's not something that's really on the forefront. I mean, you see.
It's like they got to check it out every school year. Okay, we got to do this. We talked about bullying, check it off, and that's all you hear about it for the rest of the year.
Right. You see bits and pieces of it. People talk about it. People, you know, say, okay, we're going to put a bullying thing in place. But there's nothing really that has been seriously put into place to prevent bullying. The only thing that they've done is really set what I like to say a precedence where children understand that if you do this, there are going to be some serious repercussions.
Right.
But as far as, you know, are you going to catch every student in your school who's bullying somebody? No.
So because it has to be a culture change.
It has to be a culture change. You know, the school cannot police every single student that's bullying. And some kids, this is the other thing, Pastor C, some kids who are bullied are fearful to even say anything.
We call it snitching.
That's right. Snitches get stitches, as they say. So they're fearful to even say, you know what, I can't even go home and tell my mom and my dad because I'm scared if I come back to school, it's going to be even worse the next time around. And they're going to be like, oh, we can't. Oh, look at him. He went home and told his mom and his dad, and, you know, now he's up here crying and all this.
Mm-hmm.
So now he becomes, or she becomes even more victimized for trying to protect and guard themselves. So a lot of kids who are bullied live in fear.
Right.
Fear of being bullied, but also fear of telling somebody because they're scared of the repercussions. So it's hard. But like you say, it has to be a culture change.
Exactly.
It has to be something that is embedded in our students where they learn to accept and appreciate everybody regardless of who they are, regardless of how they look, regardless of what their limitations are. Everybody should learn to appreciate one another for who they are. Once we get on that platform, then you won't have any bullying. But we just bully for the sake of empowering ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build ourselves up by trying to bring somebody else down.
Right.
That's what bullying is for. It's for basically for
weak-minded
people.
Say that again.
Basically, bullying is for the purpose of building ourselves up by tearing somebody else down. That's all it is. That's what it is. We gonna knock somebody else down to build ourselves up. We empowering ourselves to feel like we've got some control over somebody or something. So we talk bad about it. We make them feel bad about themselves, and we feel like, okay, I got somebody I can control. I got somebody I can manipulate.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And it goes on and on and on and on. And now it's so bad. The children are victimized every day, all day. Can you imagine you on your cell phone and somebody saying, don't come to school Monday and we'll beat you up.
Yeah.
Don't come outside. We waiting for you. Don't go to the mall. I'll be right there when you get there. I mean, just crazy stuff.
Yeah, when we were coming up, it was off the bus. If you caught the school,
that's
key
right,
bus.
That's right.
Off the bus.
Off the bus. I'll meet you at the bus stop.
Yeah,
oh, that's it.
Right.
That's it. You know, it was nothing about that. You walking home today, baby, walking home. Okay, that was it. You didn't catch the bus, you walked home. You know, it was that simple.
Right.
But nowadays, it's bullying all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just constantly feeding,
yeah,
you know, feeding that habit of trying to, you know, bring somebody else down to build yourself up. And so we like we say, Pastor Steve, we've got to change the culture.
Let's talk about what they say children more likely to bully others. There are two types of kids who are more likely to bully others, and they say that some are well connected to their peers,
mm-hmm.
have social power, are overly concerned about their popularity, Rebbe, and like to dominate or be in charge of others.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one says that others are more isolated from their peers and be depressed or anxious, have low self-esteem, be less involved in school, be easily pressured by peers, or not identify with the emotions or feelings of others. Those are the two types of kids who are more likely to bully. And they have the children that have these factors are more likely to bully others. Those who are aggressive or easily frustrated, have less parental involvement or having issues at home, think badly of others, have difficulty following rules, view violence in a positive way, have friends who bully others. And you know, you can pick out those things, and what these are precursors to letting us know who would be more apt to bully. Not that you're picking anybody out or you're stereotyping, but these are just things that let you know if people have these particular behaviors, you know, you can put them on radar that they might have a tendency to bully. And the children that are at risk of being bullied are the ones that are perceived, like you said earlier, that are different from their peers, that are being overweight or underweight, wearing glasses or different clothing, being new to a school, being considered as uncool, you know, seeing that they're weak or can't depend on themselves. You know, it's like the kid that's being picked on is the one that appears to be weak. But you don't have to be weak to have any of these factors. But you really have to understand that when we begin to start addressing bullying, these are the things that we need to address in our action plans, in our action committees, to say these are the kids we need to look out. These are the kids that are at risk. These are the statistics that show us that these children are at risk. And so we have to be proactive instead of reactive and start going to these kids that are in these risk categories and start asking them, are you being bullied? If you're being bullied, who's the ones that are bullying you? How can we talk to the people that are bullying you? How can we change this culture of people wanting to be empowered and to have power and authority or imbalance of power over people? How can we begin to start changing this attitude? But what we can't keep doing is sitting back and waiting for it to happen. We have to see the kids that were coming into our school and see, okay, this is happening at lunchtime. This is happening during the football game. This is happening during the school day. And as a community of parents, teachers, community leaders, start putting things into practice and say, this is not acceptable.
Right.
We're not going to accept this anymore. This is not acceptable. Rebbe?
Preventative measures. That's going to be my buzzword for tonight. We got buzzwords that we like to use on the show. And these are all preventative measures. Recognize, identify the kids who will be bullied. Recognize, identify the kids who are going to be the bullier, the ones who's going to go out there and bully kids. I mean, you gotta.
And you can see it.
You can see it. You gotta recognize and see these signs early in the game. Early in the game. Don't wait till they get to high school and when they're teenagers. But you gotta get it early. You know, get it in. You know, when they're in preschool and first and second grade or whatever. You know,
That's what I'm talking about.
The earlier you get them and change that mindset, the better off it's going to be. Because kids naturally, it's a natural instinct to pick on somebody that looks different. You know, me and you both have been victims of the bully.
That's right.
You know?
That's
when
right.
When you the chubby, fat little kid, get victimized all the time.
New to the school.
New to the school.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been victims of the bully.
Yeah.
You know? But the key is, how do you deal with it? But then secondly, it's got to be a change in the mindset, you know. And I figure the earlier we can get to these children, the better off it will be, and you won't see these drastic situations and terrible things happening in the schools as a result of bullying. It shouldn't have to get to the point where people lose their lives for folks to start waking up. Remind you that Columbine happened 13 years ago.
Yeah.
13 years ago. Bullying issues.
Yeah.
And it's like we just brushed it under the rug. We haven't said anything about it. But bullying is something that is so very serious. Because when kids are bullied, they can't be successful in school.
Not at all.
Not at all. You know, and you know the one that's bullying ain't going to be successful because he's wasting his time bothering everybody.
Right.
And the other kids can't concentrate because they're so fearful of what's going to happen next. So it's a lose-lose situation. Nobody's learning. And that's why what? We're at the bottom of the list on achievement.
It's really, really, and I don't know how to say this any stronger. It really needs something to stay on the front page. As far as the front page, I think it gets marginalized because what you say about the FAMU, everybody went through it. It ain't gonna hurt you,
right? But just
it's your rite of passage,
right?
Everybody does.
Don't make it right though.
Doesn't make it right. And the thing why I say it needs to get off the margin and get on the front page story is because it will affect, let me slow down, It will affect everybody in everybody's community. I'm going to slow down a little bit later, a little bit more. Children that have been bullied, the end result is it's going to affect you and I, whether we believe it or not, Rev B.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it has to stay on the front burner. Whether you believe it or not, we need to treat this thing like the flu virus. That if we don't start washing hands, if we don't start sneezing into our elbow, if we don't start taking the inoculations, what's going to happen is we're going to have a whole country during flu season sick as a dog.
Yeah.
But because we know how bad the flu is, we'll get inoculated, we'll wash the hands, we'll cover the mouth, we'll stay away from people, and people stay away from us until the flu season is over. But the bullying season, which is all school year long, we don't treat it like that. We treat it as that's something that every child goes through. They just cheesing, they just poking fun, they're not doing anything harmful. But in reality it is doing harm, and the incubation period will be that later on in their life it's gonna blow up.
It's like planting the seed of destruction.
It's going to blow up on your job. It's going to blow up with your neighbor. It's going to blow up with the fella at the gas station. It's going to blow up with the sister driving the car down the road. It's going to blow up. It's the incubation period. It's going to blossom into something that is very negative, that's going to affect you and I in the community, because on a regular basis, it hasn't stayed mainstream. It hasn't stayed on the front page. The only time we hear about it is when something negative happens.
And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't take a big explosion to get our attention. But it's sad, the only time we want to do something is after something drastic has taken place. People got to die, then we want to get involved.
That's when you put the stoplight out. Yeah. Five people got killed.
Exactly.
At the intersection.
And that's always been the mindset of our culture and our society, that we don't take preventative measures. We want to do stuff after the fact. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. So somebody got to lose their life for you to start putting in stuff into place about bullying. You know, somebody got to die for you to put stuff into place about racial profiling. Somebody got to die before you can start looking into police brutality.
Hate crime.
Hate crimes. You know, somebody got to die when you start looking, you know, into abuse of homosexuality and lesbianism and all of that stuff. People got to die for that.
Yeah.
But that's what we do. We don't jump on board until after the fact, till something drastic has happened. And the same thing with bullying. Too many people are going to lose their lives because preventative measures have not been taken. You know, look at the bigger picture. If we get involved now, imagine how many lives we'll save later.
And the awesome thing about getting involved, Rev B, is that when you get all the players involved, and we'll talk about this on the second hour, then that becomes a prevention all by itself. Whereas people will see it, the young people can identify it, the teacher can identify it, everybody can identify it, and they can go to the bully and say, hey, this is not going to happen. People will start standing up for the person that's getting bullied. Even young kids, you can see it. When they've been raised right, when they've been given the proper parent supervision, the teacher leadership, community leadership, in the community, in the neighborhoods, they will say, that is not right. We're coming to that person's aid. And in this area or this community, we're not going to stand for that, because we know that our community is better off when everyone has the ability to succeed and be educated. That makes our community that much better. And when everyone gets involved in that, they'll point it out and they say, no, that's we're not going to have that. The kids in the neighborhood, you know, they'll say, no, we're not going to have it. Well, little Johnny might be small or little Billy might be fat or chubby, but we're not going to stand for that, because that makes our community bad when we pick on little Johnny, little Billy, or little Susie.
Mm-hmm.
It creates what we call negative vibes in the community. It creates negativity. It creates distraction. It creates things that are not healthy for our community. It doesn't create a sense of wellness. And when people say, I want wellness, so we're going to identify this, we're going to train, we're going to teach, we're going to educate people on this, to the point now that they're educated to understand that if this behavior happens, we're all going down.
There's strength in numbers. And the more we can bind together as a way of a preventative measure, we can destroy bullying. But the key is, we got to come together. Problem is, more it's cancer. I'm going to say that. It's cancer. The more people who bully are going to be victims of bullying, and they're going to continue to bully. It's cancerous, so it spreads. You bully me, I'm going to bully somebody else. They're going to bully somebody else. So on and so forth.
Perpetuate.
So we got this ugly cycle that is just out of control now. You know, somebody comes down on you, I'm coming down on somebody else. And that's the way that it's always been. That's kind of how society works. If my boss comes down on me, guess what? I'm coming down on my underlings. Bullying. That's what it is. the same mindset. So until we are able to band together and work together,
you say it's not okay
to prevent stuff like this. So first and foremost, say it's not okay. It's not okay to beat on somebody. It's not okay to call people out and to talk about people. You know, people should be able to be who they are, regardless of what we think of them. Your opinion is your opinion. That's fine. But that means you got to go out here and let it be known by bullying somebody. And so my fear is that we have to stop this cancer before it really runs rampant.
And because it starts with our children, because it starts with the children. And that's
children
what makes
naturally
it,
know how right. to discriminate.
And it's like, if we can't stop it with our children, you know, these are what the adults are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
These are the adults that we're producing. Ones who are bullied and those who have suffered the effects of bullying.
Say it again.
these are the adults that we're producing.
Yes,
the ones that are bullied and ones that are suffering the effects of bullying. Because it's been marginalized and has been mainstream. And I'm my heart is pouring out because school year is getting closer. And we used to go back to school. We had fun. We had a ball. We were anxious to go back and see the new people and all this stuff. But you have a generation of kids now that are terrorized. They don't want to go back to school, Red B.
Fearful. Because they already know what's going to be there.
First day of school, first terrorized.
Day. First day. They already know. Fearful. You don't even want to go to school to learn because you're scared of being picked on because you stand out. And this is a nation of children who experienced this.
A nation.
A nation of children. Not a small percentage, by the way. It's a very large percentage. We're talking 30% of your overall school population is bullied. That's a lot. And it probably is increasing.
Those are just a reported case.
That's a reported case. And some kids don't report it.
And the statistics say that as they get older, into the 10th, 11th, 12th grade, the instances of reporting goes down.
Goes down, yeah. Because by that time, they've already started their own way of dealing with it.
Mm.
So that's when...
My goodness.
You open up so many doors. That's when the drugs come in.
You got to take a break.
That's right. That's when the alcohol comes in. That's when the crazy behavior comes in, because that's how they're dealing with it. You know, their own therapy. So instead of telling somebody, they have another out that they have to deal with. So, but anyway, we're going to, man, the hour goes by so fast. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
And we're going to talk about it, the prevention of it. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Hey. ACDC. First hour has flown by real quick. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville with Rev B. And we're talking about a subject that gets highlighted when things happen in our community, when things have come to a boil and blown up, and that is the subject of bullying. And we've talked briefly about it. And we've referenced the website, stopbullying.gov, as a website that every parent, every teacher needs to, every community organizer needs to go to and get this information on how we can keep bully prevention on the front page and in the mainstream, because it's devastating to know that almost 30% of children every school year get bullied, and these bullies come out of school, and they become people in our society that have been affected mentally, physically, psychiatric problems, all kinds of things, because of the way they were treated during their years of going through school. And you know, we're trying to get people to understand how serious of a thing this is, that what we see is a product of what has happened in school and in college, in our primary school, in our high schools, and in our college. What we see is happening is what we're turning out. And so that's what we're talking about. And so if you want to be a part of the conversation during our second hour, please, ma'am, please, sir, you can call in at 347-324-5569. At 347-324-5569. And if you want to be a part of a conversation, you want to ask a question, when you get into the queue, push 1, and that will put you into the queue, and we can or filter your call right on through. Rev B, you know, we talked about it in the second hour. We're going to talk about prevention measures, and you talked about preventative maintenance as the key word tonight. And there are a lot of preventative things that go into it. We're not saying that every school or every district is not doing it, but the main key is to not only do it, but to continue to do it and to keep it, like I said, on the front page and not the back page. You know, we know about the homecoming, we know about the Spirit Week, we know about the great programs that we have during the schools. You know, the football, the basketball programs. Even, you know, with the Penn State story of all the great football teams and football players that Penn State put out, but it crept up to the forefront about the bullying and the abuse that was going on during all of that great football history and legacy, because bullying and you know, that bullying leads to other behaviors, such as the behavior that happened at Penn State. Because it's not front page. It's not on the front page. You can have a lot of things on the front page, but don't leave bullying off of the front page, Rebby.
Bullying is not enforced until, of course, something drastic happens. Prime example, you just brought up a very great case about Penn State thing with Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno, the whole athletic program, just the school in general. We're talking 13 years of this known behavior, bullying. An old man bullying a little kid into doing stuff that is totally wrong. You can't sugarcoat that. You're wrong, period, end of story. And for 13 years, it went under the rug, flying under the radar. Nobody paid attention. Nobody knew. It was all held in secrecy. And then when it explodes, then it's like, oh.
It's almost like they're offended.
They're offended. They're mad because they took away his win.
They got caught.
Took down the trophy, the monument in front of the stadium. But you knew. and you didn't do anything. So you just as bad. You didn't come to the defense of the kids who were being bullied, so you're just as guilty, especially when you had knowledge of the situation. It's one thing to don't know, but to know and to not do something, you're just as guilty. And it should never, Pastor C, have to get to that point where the fear of God is putting you to say, okay, now we need to do something. It should have been did something. Too many children. If one child got abused, that's one too many. But you let this predator stay in your presence on your community and lure children.
The football program would have been hurt.
Right. You know?
If it came out.
And lure children to these camps. Thinking they going up there for one thing.
Oh.
And come back home having a totally different experience.
And so now these kids are going to act out
now these
on
kids,
other kids.
On other kids. And these kids are probably scarred for life. Because that thought, that memory will always be in their mind. And for most kids who are abused or bullied or whatever, like we said, they're going to go out and they're going to commit the same type of act. It's a known fact. That's what has been done. I read files every day from kids who have abused other kids, but when you go back
a little further,
to, you know, Pastor C, really take some type of preventative measures about being able to keep our children safe.
And this is, you know, on this second hour, again, if you want to call in, the number is 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. And you can push one and it'll put you in the queue. And it's just actions that over a period of time that we as a community start action planning. And that's one of the things that Pastors ACDC, we're really involved with, is getting the community to action plan, not just to talk about it, but to go into action. And one of the things that you can do if you go to this website, stopbullying.gov, is you can go to the community action planning, and you can pull up either on PowerPoint or a PDF file the training module with speaker notes. And if every Rebbe, I know you guys think I'm crazy. If every pastor, have mercy. If every pastor would present this to their congregation and give them the tools to take to every one of their students, their young people's school, and present it to the principals and the leaders, this could get on the front page, Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just passionate about that because I believe that once we have the resource, we need to get connected with the people that are involved in getting this done and getting on the front page. I want it to stay on the front page, just like when you go to the Washington Post, up at the top, it tells you what the date is, what the weather is going to be, what the temperature is going to be, and it stays on the front page every day.
Right.
We need to keep this on the front page every day because this is what we're turning out. And so the training module, it tells you how to assess it. It tells you how to have community events. It tells you how to gives you a tip sheet, tells you how to mobilize, tells you how to give an action plan matrix, tips for working the media, notes about suicide, fundraising. All the resources are here for us. You see, there's no excuse. The resources are here for us, but the biggest thing is we have to, as leaders, pastors, as it tells us how to get the fire department involved. It tells us how to get the police department involved. It tells us how to get your neighbors involved. And somewhere along the line, if everybody just does a little bit, you don't have to do the whole thing. But if everybody just does a little bit, we can keep it on the front page, like I said, of the Washington Post, where it tells you what. Whether it's going to be sunny, whether it's going to rain, and what the high and what the low is. Every day, that's on the front page.
Yep.
You
piece of information.
It's going to be there, whether that's on the front page, whether it's on the metro section. But we need to keep it in front. Go to the principal. The principals, and you can speak more to this, Reverend. The principals are looking for teachers, not teachers, but not only teachers, but parents and community leaders to get involved to help them. It's frustrating as a teacher to say, okay, these are resources, but I need people to help to act upon this. This is why it's called a community action plan. It's not just the principal action plan. Lord have mercy, I'm gonna leave that alone.
It's not just the school action
plan. It's just not the school action plan.
And that's the problem, is that the community is relying on the school
to do everything.
And they don't have the resources. The children spend more time in the community than they do in the school. They're only in the schoolhouse for maybe a total of 6 hours a day, 8 to 2, 7:30 to 2, 6 hours a day. So the rest of the time, they're where? In the community.
Say that again, Rabbi.
In the community. They spend more time in the community than they do in the school. So this should be a collaborative effort where the community picks up where the school leaves off.
That's how it has to work.
That's how it has to be. Because really, Pastor C, the majority of the bullying takes place in the community and not in school. That's where all the bullying goes down. You know, it takes place more so in the community than it does in the school. So it has to be a collaborative effort. School and the community learn to work together, just like the parents and the teachers learn to work together. It has to be a collaborative effort in order to get the job done. Because if one entity is dependent on another entity to handle everything, it's not going to get done.
And again, this particular website, it lays it out, Rebby, it lays it out line by line, verse by verse, from how to just go ahead and start it.
Right.
And you know, it gives you everything that you need to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would just take the initiation, again, I'm going to start with the pastor. Pastors, it'll take you 2 hours to go through this in a PowerPoint presentation. 2 hours. Then what you do is you give this to your congregation, to everyone that has an interest in a child. Doesn't have to be that you have children, but everyone has an interest in a child. Get involved with that child's school. Am I going too fast?
No, you're good. I'm listening.
Get involved with that. Set up a meeting with that child's whoever the principal has designated, was a assistant principal or whoever the principal has designated, to be involved with the parent, the teachers association, or whatever it is, and say that we want this to be on front page all year long. And I'm willing, now that's where the problem is, I'm willing to be instrumental in helping to get it done. This is my availability, and I'll be willing to be instrumental in getting it done. And that's where the civic associations come in our community. Where the area where the students are, the parents in that community, they would get together and say, there's enough of us in this community that we can keep this on the front burner, and that we can make safe places for our children to say, hey, this is happening, this is what's going on, and be able to work in congruently with the neighborhood stores and store owners and the schools and people in the community to say that we are so concerned about this, because these are going to be the next store owners. These are going to be the next homeowners. These are going to be the next teachers. These are going to be the next home buyers and store goers that shop in the stores. And because we know this, we're all coming together to say that this is something that needs to be addressed and kept on the front burner for the entire school year. And when we do that, I guarantee that there's going to be a change in your community. But it's got to start with us, pastors. It's got to start with us, leaders. It got to start with us, people that are concerned to say, we owe this to our children.
Yes. I was just sitting here looking through the website, and I picked up just looking at some various information. And it says there's some school factors that are related to bullying as well. And one of them is the climate in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about students as a belonging to the school and the degree of respect and fair treatment. So when kids don't think they feel involved and don't feel like they're being treated, guess what? They're more likely to bully. There's the other thing, good adult supervision.
Uh-oh.
Good adult
supervision. Absent.
Exactly. Absent where? In the home and where? In the school. That goes community and school. When there's no adult supervision, kids run wild, you know. And then our other thing, you're talking about awareness and responsiveness of staff, which means, you know, some kids just act like, you know what, we're just going to do this anyway, regardless, you know, whether or not the teacher's around or not, you know. And here's the other one we talked about. Talks about examples of community factors related to involvement in bullying. One of them was neighborhood safety.
There you have it.
Neighborhood safety. You know? Kids ain't even safe in their own neighborhood. So when you're not safe in your own neighborhood, guess what? You're going to fall victim. You know? Ain't no more neighborhood watch out. They probably still got them, but they used to have them when we were growing up, but not anymore.
No civic association.
No civic association. No nothing. People who will look out for you in the community. You know, if you got into trouble, you know there was somebody's house you could always run to in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Not anymore. You know, the other one was connection to adults in the neighborhood, and that's what we talked about.
That's right.
The children have no connection to any adults in their neighborhood. You know, either adults don't want to be bothered or the children don't want to be bothered.
What's going on with that, man? You know, Marvin Gaye, he had this song. What's going on?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I mean, this website, you all have to go and look at it. It is just unbelievable, the PowerPoint and just some of the different things. I mean, I'm looking at this one. Children and youth at higher risk for being bullied are students who have what? Learning disabilities. They're at high risk. Students with
ADHD
and autism. I mean, just all of this stuff is just unbelievable.
And these are the warning signs.
And those are the
flashing out at us that we say, okay, we have children with ADHD. We have people with physical disabilities. We have people with all kinds of different ailments. These are the areas where we need to be looking, saying, hey, are these kids being bullied?
Right. And bullying is serious. Because bullying can be lead to health problems, physically, mental health problems, and academic problems. This thing is a disease.
And this is why
it's a disease.
This is why I'm saying, Rev B, why isn't this on the front page, man?
Because
help me out. It
flies under the radar. I'm telling you, if there's nothing drastic happening, gonna fly into the radar.
It's not a rite of passage. This is what I'm saying. People say, it's just a rite of passage. Boy, you shouldn't like stand up to the bully, knock him in the nose, blah, 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 blah. You know,
you know what? That's the way American society has always been. We've always said you need to stand up to the bully. And why do you? Perfect example. And I'm gonna laugh because I'm gonna tell my age. I used to watch Different Strokes all the time. And there was the bully. They used to always pick on Arnold. His name was we would never see him on the show. The guy would call the house.
Right.
And bully Arnold and be like, don't come to school.
Right.
And I'm
on the phone.
On the phone. You know, and it's like, at that time, you're thinking like, okay, you're a parent and you got somebody calling your house and they're bullying your child. But see, that's the way society is. Society has always said, you know what, you got to stand up to the bully. And so what did Arnold do? He stood up to the bully. Did he get beat up?
Yep.
Yeah, he did. But why he got to go through all that? You know, but that's just kind of how we've always embraced the bullying. Stand up to the bully. You know, fight him or do whatever you need to do to get the respect of the bully. But the bully is nobody. The bully is just somebody else who's been bullied. That's all they are. They got some problems about themselves.
Exactly.
You know? Something they can't deal with, you know. So it just amazes me how we as a society have just allowed bullying to go on for so long and just let it fly under the radar until somebody loses their life.
And to know that it's affecting all of us,
mm-hmm.
it's baffling to me why we won't do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, health problems, headaches, backaches, stomach pain, sleep problems, poor appetite, you know, bedwetting. All these things come from bullying. You know, it's crazy.
It's saddening to me that your child will have to go through that. It almost gets to the point where you have to be angry to the point where I'm not going to sit still on this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it is. I mean, it's like it's almost like we're not going to get involved until something happens to our child.
But it shouldn't take that.
And it shouldn't take that. But the sad part about it is that's probably what it will take. For somebody that we know and love, that's either our own or close to us, to be bullied, for us to take action. Because you know how we are, Will. It ain't my child. I ain't worried about it.
Not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. You know, and it's crazy.
This resource, Rev B,
yes, sir.
This resource that we're looking at here, is this something that you can see your pastor standing up, doing a little PowerPoint presentation, and saying, okay, and like I said, I went through it in about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then go through it about 2 hours and say, take this with you, give you this resource, empower you to take this to your school, find out what they're doing, and say, we're going to get together, and we're going to keep this on the front page, on the front radar for the entire school year, and we're going to get the community involved, and this is going to be something that's going to be main topic, not just the Redskins or the Cowboys. Oh, my goodness, it's that season again. And we'll talk about Redskins and Cowboys. And nothing's, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with talking about the Redskins, Cowboys. That's great. That's a part of our community also. We need that in our lives also.
Mm-hmm.
However, on that same page with that, and I want to give it that same importance, Rev B, we should be looking at our kids, man, that says, you know, my kid doesn't want to go to school because he's scared.
Mm-hmm.
My child's going to drop out of school because they're scared. My child's not doing well in college because, you know, the people are teasing because they're not pledging, because he's scared. And you know, my kid's getting beat and brutalized because he is pledging and he's getting hazed or she's getting hazed. And you know, it seems like our hearts will be poured out to say, people, this does nothing for us in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurting us in the long run. It's like when the country had to come to grips with slavery. Slavery was a form of bullying. It does nothing for our community. It does nothing for our nation. It does nothing for our world. And why are we allowing this at school-age children to do this? Why are we allowing this to stay something that continues to go on? Why isn't it on the front page along with every other thing that goes on the front page?
That's the problem. Until a life is lost, will always be just wind blowing in the air, you know. And until we are able to really come together as a school and as a community and learn how to work together, we're always going to have this disconnect. We're not doing a collaborative effort here like we should. You know, the school's got to work with the community and vice versa in order to really get a hold on this bullying thing, you know. We got all this stuff in the place. Oh, anti-bullying this, anti-bullying that. We're going to make sure we take very preventative measures. But then once we present it, ball falls and nobody picks it up. And then the next thing you know, you're still back in the same boat again. And you have more of the same stuff. But this time it seems like it's getting worse. You know, the outcries of bullying have just gotten worse. You know, the victimization of it has just gotten worse. More and more kids are just being terrorized by bullies, you know, and we're just more or less taking preventive measures to cover ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but not really taking really taking a hands-on approach and saying, you know what, we need to really stop this. We need to really put our foot down and say, you know what, we've got to not have stuff like this in our communities, in our schools. We got to have a learning, safe environment.
That's right.
But unfortunately, like you said, we don't do that. We're not working together. You talk a good game.
Oh, my goodness.
But then when the whistle blows, it's like, okay.
Nobody on the playing field.
Nobody's on the playing field. Everybody's on the sideline, pointing at everybody else because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But what are you supposed to be doing? You know, so we really have to take a step back and look at what it is that needs to be done to help keep our children safe. Too many children are staying home every year because they don't want to come to school. Why? Because they're fearful for their life.
We got to put the challenge out there, Rev B. Go ahead and put the challenge out there.
We are challenging everybody, pastors, preachers, members, whoever. First and foremost, we want to challenge the pastors to get on board with this this PowerPoint, antibullying.com. Is that right? And we want you all to make sure that you all get this presentation.
Stop bullying.
Stopbullying.com.
.com.
And we want to make sure that you all
.gov. I'm sorry.
.gov. So stopbullying.gov is the website. It's got a beautiful PowerPoint on there. Pastors, preachers, look it over. This is information that your
churches, resources.
It's a resource that your churches could use, that they could take back into the community. It tells you about everything, the causes, the effects, the laws.
Where you can get help.
Where you can get help. It talks about everything. Who's likely to be bullied, who's likely to bully. I mean,
step-by-step action
everything,
plan.
Everything you need to know. It's a step-by-step action plan. So we're challenging pastors, preachers to take this information and get out there and present it to your church and make people aware. And then what we're doing is we're asking people that once you get this information, take it out to your community, take it to your schools, take it to your community centers, go over it with your children, do all that you can do to make them aware of what bullying is and what type of effects that it will have on them in the long run. Because at the end of the day, every child in this country has a right to be able to go to school and to learn and not to be treated any differently than anybody else because of how they look or because of what their disabilities or anything. We don't do that. We got laws in place. You know, we got civil rights laws. We got Title IX laws.
That's right.
You know, we got all of these laws. We got the IDA, which is Individual with Disabilities.
That's right.
You know, which allows people to be able to go and do what they need to do just like everybody else. So remember, when you do stuff like this, you are committing a federal crime. This is a federal law.
It's serious.
It's serious, brother. It's serious. So think about it. Before you open your mouth and say something about somebody, think about what, you know, the consequences could be for these actions.
I want the pastors to get involved. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. We talk about a whole lot of things. The kids are getting ready to go back to school. Kids are scared to death to go to school. We're having our back to school program on the 25th of August, and this is going to be one of the things that we highlight during our back to school program. And we're going to be handing out the literature. We'll be handing out the website, and we're going to start, you know, with ourselves. We're going to start with ourselves. And everyone has to get that mentality that it starts with me. If I want to make a revolution, the revolution has to start with me. If I want to make a change, the change has to start with me. Pastors, I know there's a lot of things going on in your churches. I know there's a lot of things going on in your life. But this is something that affects generations. Let me say that again. This is something that affects generations. And if we're trying to be a positive influence in our community, we have to have that foresight to be able to say, I need to get involved on this ground level, on this root level, on this base level, this grassroots level, to take whatever the schools are doing. And I'm sure by law there's certain things they have to do. But, you know, they'll run through that agenda first of the year, blah, 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 check everything off. We did this, we did this. And that's as far as it goes. But we as community leaders, we have to make sure that it just doesn't stop there. And you have to get involved. You got to get involved. You got to turn the TV loose sometimes, turn whatever you're doing loose sometimes. You know, and get out there, let them know that this is a serious thing. Rebbe, I just don't think that it is something that is on too many people's radar. I really don't. And so we have to start, and we're starting tonight. We're challenging pastors. We're challenging ministers. We're challenging community leaders. Everyone that's gone back to the archive, go to stopbullying.gov. Go to the how to prevent it. Go down to the community action and get either the PowerPoint or get the PDF file. Print it out, give it to your leader, or you spearhead it, and go out and make this thing happen.
Pastor C, I'm actually on here now looking at some of the preventative measures that they've actually got on the website, and basically pretty much piggybacks what we've already said tonight, you know, focusing on the social climate. You know, bullying requires prevention changes in the social climate, changes in the attitude, changes in the norms and behaviors, and takes time and, I love this word here, commitments.
Commitment.
That's what's wrong with us. We'll start off with something. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah,
that's what happens. We start off good.
Yeah, the holidays are here.
We don't end up on a good note. And it says that these types of things take time.
Nobody wants to give it up.
Time.
Nobody wants to give up the time.
They take time. They take time. It's not going to be a one-hit wonder. It's not going to be an overnight success. It's not going to be like, boom, we got it done. It takes time and commitment to implement these preventative measures, which means this is something that we have to be working on all the
Thank
time.
You. Say that again, please, Rev. B.
We have to be working on these preventative measures all the time. Not just some of the time, not when
you're the holidays. Yeah.
Right. You know,
the vacation season.
Birthday
here.
Weekend.
It's
you
the
know,
Easter.
Just,
it's Easter.
Easter.
All of that.
All of that.
You know.
But we got to look at the global picture. You know, look at the global picture. The more consistent you're with it, you know, the better chance you have of seeing results. You can't see results if you're just going here and there and doing a little bit here, doing a little bit there. It don't work that way. You got to be consistent in what you're doing. So, you know, I mean, it talks about conducting community-wide bully assessments.
That's what I'm talking about, Rick. Community-wide.
Yeah. Community-wide.
How many have you – I haven't heard any.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard any? I mean, in all the neighborhoods you've lived in,
I mean,
have you heard any?
I've heard none. You know, you get together with, you know, the schools, the Department of Social Services, Department of Juvenile Justice. I mean, it's all these –
They even got an FBI program.
Yeah, all of this stuff, all of that, all falls together. You know, so, I mean, you have to be able to go and really look at what needs to be done and get on board with it. Because if all of the venues come together and work together and be consistent with it, and be committed with it, then we know we're going to see the changes. But if you're just doing something on a fly-by-night or a one-night thing or whatever, it's not going to work.
Right.
You just can't show up once a month and be like, all right, I'm here. It doesn't work that way. You got to be committed. You got to be consistent. You got to stay involved.
And that's why we're bringing this to your attention tonight. I know, you know, people really, really get uptight when you bring things that some people are still experiencing the effects of bullying. And so it's a raw nerve right now. And we understand it's a raw nerve, but a way to begin that healing is to start dealing with what has made that nerve raw, what you might have experienced or what your children might have experienced. And so now here's a way for you to begin to start taking back that power, start fighting back, and start putting things in place to help your society about bullying. And You can do that by getting involved in these various programs. There's a program in this website that tells us about Project Change, and it says you have the power, and it gives you the action plan how to recruit younger people and to start participating in anti-bullying. And Red B, when you can get younger people to mentor each other to help. See, because sometimes kids are receiving better from a kid
right.
than an adult.
From their own peer, yeah.
And it gives Project Chain, gives the action plan on how to, you know, present a final project. This could be something that a school can grab a hold of and get with a group of people and say, this is a project that we want to do. And everyone, there's resources here. We'll give you funding. We'll give you the materials to be able to put this project project change into place. And then the FBI community outreach, something that began in Buffalo, New York, where the FBI community outreach specialist Evans began a program about bullying, and they put an action plan into place. And you can contact your federal government. You can get resources, DVDs and flyers and activity guides. They went to places like movie theaters and things like that and put this information out, like a place where kids, a popular movie is getting played at the local movie theater. And they made this an event where the kids were going to the movie, but they were also learning about bullying or anti-bullying. And, you know, you can get with your cinema houses, or you can get with any area where kids gather, you know, the running shoots or the basketball community, places like that. And you can set these things up, and you have resources at the government that are willing to give you the flyers, the DVDs, the material that you can distribute, and then get the kids involved. And what happens when the kids get involved and they feel involved and they feel like it's something that's important for them, then what will happen is the other kids will begin to start gravitating to this, and it become mainstream. And when it becomes mainstream, it's like Facebook. Everybody got to do it.
It is. And what you're doing is you're keeping the kids safe. And the second thing you're doing is you're not allowing them to have idle time. Because that idle time is the devil's workshop.
Absolutely.
And most kids who bully don't have anything else to do. They got idle time. So they spend the majority of their time just bothering other people. It's idle. So the more we're able to keep children active and keep them involved, we know that will be a preventative measure from having them to have opportunity to go out here and bully somebody. Very important.
And in this website, it talks about stakeholders, Rev. B.
Mm-hmm.
Stakeholders. I call it skin in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I mean is that when you got skin in the game, that means you've invested something.
Mm-hmm.
That
no,
it's cost you something.
That's right.
And everybody needs to get some skin in the game. And they talk about stakeholders, and these are the list of stakeholders, people that need to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those on that list of people that need to be involved?
So we're looking, for those of you, don't forget, if you want to go back and look at stopbullying.gov, we're looking at the stakeholder brainstorm. That's a buzzword. You hear a lot of that in education. But it's basically people who are invested in the action.
Skin in the game.
The action plan. So basically we're looking at elected officials / community leaders. It's very important. We're looking at health and safety professionals. We're looking at law enforcement officers. We're looking at child care, after school, and out of school.
Check that out.
Professionals.
Check that out. Child care.
So but before and after
before
and child care.
Exactly.
Right. We're looking for that. My favorite, faith leaders. Where the preachers at? where the preachers at? We need some faith leaders. We just said that. We need corporate and business professionals, business owners. Small-time business owners. We need those people, okay? We need mental health and social science professionals, social service professionals. We need those as well. Educators, including yours truly, special education professionals. I know that's right. Parents and caregivers.
Hello.
Youth leader organization members. City/county recreation professionals. That's community centers. And others.
And
everybody
so that's what it's
needs
telling
to
me.
Get involved.
What it's telling me is
everybody.
That everybody
they just gave
needs
you a
to
few.
Be involved.
Everybody needs to be involved. They just gave you a few, but everybody needs involved. From the top down.
That tells you how serious this is.
Yeah. I mean, churches, communities, schools, mental health, law enforcement, you name it. They covered every single avenue. Every single avenue. There's not one thing that was not covered. You know, parents, caregivers, youth leaders, business owners, faith leaders, before and after care, law enforcement. They covered it all.
And this is the outline for us to be able to attack this thing.
Right. You know, so it's nothing to it now but to do it. But the key is what's going to be your excuse.
Oh, my God.
Because they're waiting on you. They done called you out. They done called you out. They're saying, where are you now? Step by step. You know, prevention and response action steps. They break it all the way down for you. They give you an action plan. And the first thing is to who needs to be involved. That's the first thing. You know, who needs to be involved? And once those people step up to the plate and realize, okay, you know what? I have a commitment. I need to get involved. Then you start to see the change. But the people are just like, hands off, don't feel like being bothered, then the bullet is always going to be out of control.
Out of control.
Out of control. Then you're just going to have another nation of children who grow up being bullied and turn around and bully. And eventually somebody's going to get pushed to the edge, and then more lives will be lost. And yet we were told that they needed you to help prevent stuff such as this. And we rested on our laurels and thought that it would be better just to stand on the sideline instead of go out here and help make a change in the community.
Let me ask you this, Rev B.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this and what we've talked about, we're down to our last 15 minutes or so, is this something that can be done? Is this impossible? I know Americans, you know, when we're challenged, we step up to the challenge.
They ride like them black men crazy. The Negroes are lost their minds. They trying to save the world. They always excited about something. I'm just saying, because I know how people say.
But is this something that can be done?
It can be done. But you have to take the first step. And if people are not willing to take the first step, then you're not going to make progress. You know, you have to be able to take the first step. And even if you do have setbacks, come back and start over and do it.
Don't get distracted. Like we talked about that missed opportunity on Friday.
You know, but anything can be done if it's done the right way, if it's done for the right reason. And it's done for people that are committed to the cause. Don't do it because you feel like you have to do it. Do it because you want to do it, because you want to make a change. You want to make a difference. These children need us now more so than ever before. These children out here today, and I'm going to keep it real, they're pitiful. They're sad. They don't have anything going for them. Not one bit. You go out here and look. Just look at the way they act. Look at the way they dress. Look at what they're involved in. They don't know what they're going to be doing in 5 years. They don't even know what they're going to be doing in a year from now. So they need us to help them to be able to get on the right track. Get them involved in stuff. Get them involved in community outreach.
It takes everybody.
Stuff in church and different things like that. Get them involved. Because the more we're able to keep them involved in something positive, Pastor C, less likely they're able to go out here to be bullied.
Absolutely.
Or be victims of bullying.
Absolutely.
You know? But that's the key. When you got that downtime and nothing to do, some bullying comes in. Like I said before, our black children, they spend more time than any other race of children in the world on the internet, on the computer, watching TV, playing video games. So all we got to do is the math and see, you know what? They got too much downtime on their hands, on the cell phone, spreading rumors, on the computer, on Facebook, talking about somebody.
Talking about nothing.
That's right. You know, so you have to be very careful. But the key is to get these children involved in the community, in school, and we need to be consistent with them. It's almost like you got to stay on top of them. Your mom and my dad kept us busy.
Oh, my goodness.
They ain't want us sitting around doing nothing.
Come on now.
You got drug in church, drug to school.
Drug out in the yard.
Drug out in the
what
yard.
What did I say? You see a young person doing some hard yard work?
You know, raking leaves, cleaning rooms, vacuuming, whatever. You name it, we did it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see them anymore.
They don't do that.
I know my boy out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can train him like he was trained.
He out there.
And these kids nowadays, they don't know nothing about no hard work.
Give you an example. 2 years ago, we had the most snow we had in about 70 years.
Like, that's right. We had a blizzard.
I didn't see about two kids out there shoveling and making some money. My boy, he almost made $1,000 in 3 days cleaning off sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore, Red B. They inside watching video waiting for mom and daddy to go out and do it. But we have to get involved. Bottom line, we have to get involved, and we have to get to the point where we're saying this is crucial, this is critical. And, you know, just like the HIV epidemic, and you know, we're going to keep this fresh and keep it alive, keep it on the front burner. You know, we're going down with the HIV, you know, and we're going down with the bullying. But bullying is not epidemic as HIV is an epidemic in the Black community. But bullying is going wild in every community, in every community.
That's right.
And so it's not just a Black thing or a white thing, but it's a everybody thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's an everybody thing because, like you said, now that it's gone, you know, cyber.
Yeah.
You know, now that you got the cyber.
24/7.
24/7. Anybody and everybody is susceptible to be bullied, and everybody has access to bully somebody. Takes one little click of the finger, sent whatever, and it starts. So, you know, you don't have to wait to go to school or wait to see somebody in the community to bully or harass them. Nowadays, you can bully and harass anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know, and so it's created a totally different type of epidemic.
And suicide, bullying is a key factor that pushes kids over to killing themselves. You know, mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be real like that. When you think about it that way, your involvement, my involvement, may help prevent that factor of being the final factor that ends that kid, causes that kid to end their life. Think about that. Think about that. Your involvement or my involvement or my lack of involvement or my involvement could be that final thing that will prevent that young man or that young woman of thinking their life is so miserable or so undervalued that now they feel that the only way out of it is to take their life.
That's right. And that one thing that you have done is the last straw that sent them over the top. Somebody said, you know what? I can't take it anymore. Like you say, you know, what was the last straw when Eric Harris and Dylan Klebo decided, you know what? We're going to school tomorrow and shoot everybody. What was the last straw? What was the last thing that was done to them to push them over the edge? You know?
And
boys
was the school, did the school push? I'm sure they talked about it in school the first week of school.
Yeah.
Because that's what they had to do.
That's what they had to do.
But where was the program, the front page program during the entire school year?
That's right.
When the community identified these people that are at risk. That's our thing. We don't want to put any time to identify people that are at risk.
Right.
Those young men were at risk.
At risk. Just for being different. Just for being different. So they wore long black trench coats and black jeans and boots.
They were at risk.
At risk. They stood out. So they became victims of their own creativity.
Wow.
They've just been creative. They've just been individuals. They became victims for being an individual. Nothing else. They ain't hurt nobody. They ain't bothering nobody. Nothing. They were being individuals. And society could not accept them. But they were picked on. They were bullied. And it's sad, you know, that people like Dr. King and Rosa Parks died for the fact that we should all be treated equally, not based on anything other than our character. But now it's how you dress, color of your skin, how you look, your appearance.
That's it.
All of that. That's how we're judged now. If you don't fit the mold, if you don't fit under that umbrella, you're going to be a victim.
It's a,
you know, people are going to talk about you. People are going to, you know, throw you under the bus, scandalize you, test you. And they're going to do it every day to try to break you all the way down. But the thing is, when people reach their breaking point, what is it going to look like? Somebody going to come up in here and go postal. Somebody going to go home and take their own life, suicide. Somebody going to start taking heavy drugs and heavy alcohol. Somebody going to start abusing somebody else because they've been abused. We just don't know what will happen. But whatever the reaction is to the action, we know that it's not going to be positive, but it's going to be definitely detrimental. So we have to really think about what it is that we need to do to take preventative measures to keep our children safe. The most important thing you can do is to get involved.
Absolutely.
In the children's lives at a young age.
Absolutely.
Talk to them about bullying. Talk to them about how they handle it, how they deal with it. Let them know it's okay that if somebody bothers you and talks about you, you can tell somebody.
Exactly.
These are the things we're talking about. Get involved in your school, community, work with the parents. Parents, work with the community, work with the teachers, work with the school. That would be a collaboration. Don't just sit back and say, well, that's the school's problem. No, everybody's problem.
Everybody's problem.
You know, take a hold of the situation and work together.
And you have to start early. And this statistic right here, we have to be. The statistic of told no one about bullying,
mm-hmm.
The graph goes up as you get farther from the fifth grade and as you get to the 12th grade.
Wow.
It goes off the chart. It
goes off the chart. Starts off at 20%, and by the time
12th grade 50%. Don't tell anybody.
Yep, over 50%.
You don't tell anybody.
Unbelievable.
And this is why it's so important. So those fellas out in Columbine, mm-hmm. by the time they got to the 12th grade, they're not telling anybody. They're self-medicating. They're doing their own thing. And, you know, this is what we're trying to prevent. And, you know, people say, well, y'all talk positive. Y'all talk this. Y'all try to get people involved. But I guarantee you, that person that you're going to run into on the road, on the street, with road rage, in the grocery store, and you shake your head and say, what's wrong with this society?
That's right.
You know what's wrong with them? Nobody got involved.
That's right.
At the second grade or the third grade.
Out of control.
Nobody stopped bullying. So, yeah, we all play a part of it.
Absolutely right. We all do. And, I mean, we're responsible for keeping people safe. You know, keeping them safe.
But I don't think people think they have the responsibility to help in their community. I think they think it's somebody else's job.
That's right. They about just saying, I'm all about myself and nobody
else. I'm going to go to work, get mine, come home, leave me alone.
Hey, I got my check on the first
put day. My four walls up, put my ADT on at night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And leave me alone.
That's right. You know, I got mine, you get yours.
So you walk into the Starbucks and shorty is off the chain.
Right. Or the grocery store.
Or the grocery store and folk are acting crazy.
Yeah.
Or to the mall, or to the movie theater, and now you say I am involved, and everybody says, "Oh, this is a quiet, this is a nice community. This never happens over here to us."
No, and it happens, but we are responsible, whether we want to or not. We have a responsibility to keep people safe. You know, we do. No matter how much you want to brush it off and say whatever, whatever.
You can only stay in the house behind the ADT for so long.
So long.
You
got to go out and you got to get off of something. You know?
And stray bullets, they don't have no names on them. Come through the door, the window.
At some point in time, that's right. You got to be very careful. But get involved. Most important thing, take preventative measures. And every little bit helps.
Every little bit.
Don't think you got to do something super big. Every little bit.
So, Reb, give this address out again. Give the challenge back out to the pastors and tell the folks what we're going to do this
time. Yes, we got a lot going on. But first and foremost, we do want to put the challenge out there to all of the pastors to definitely take this information, which is stopbullying.gov. And go look at the PowerPoint. It's a very good PowerPoint. So it gives you
community action.
It gives you a lot of action. It gives you a lot of information. It gives you a game plan. It gives you an outline of what you need to do to take on preventative measures to help prevent bullying in your community. So we want you all to definitely, pastors, preachers, take this information, look it over for yourself, present it to your church members, and let the members know that, hey, you know what, we need to take this information into our schools, in our community, and most importantly, into our homes, and let children know, you know, the importance of letting it be known when you're bullying, to know who's susceptible to be bullied or who's susceptible to bully somebody. We need to go over all of these things, make an awareness of what's going on in the community. So we want to ask that if you have some time, go back and go to this website, stopbullying.gov. It's a tremendous website. Check it out. You'll definitely find some very viable information that will definitely help you, and most importantly, help our children for the upcoming school year. I think school starts in the next week for some and 2 weeks for others, but it's right around the corner, so we definitely want to make sure that our children are prepared for that. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we are the fourth free giveaway for the month of August. We're rolling now this Saturday, August 18th, mm-hmm. from 11 to 3. Don't forget, we'll be at the very fine Heart of God Baptist Church, 7100 Chesapeake Road, which is in Landover Hills, right off of 450. And it'll be in suites 205 and 206. And you know the weather's going to be great that day. So we're going to be outside, and we're going to have a lot going on, some music, some food, and just come out and fellowship. Have a great time. If you have any clothes that you need to bring, you're more than welcome to bring them by on the church on that day. We'll definitely make sure that they get in the hands of the right people. So we're definitely excited about that as well. And, of course, don't forget, we want to be having stuff to help for back to school as
That's
well.
That's right. Supplies,
book bags, paper, pencils. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is on sale. So if you want to come and donate some of that stuff, I know Staples and Home Depot, they go crazy every year with papers and the pencils. I think it's like, you know,
five cents.
So just whatever you want to donate, just go ahead and bring it by. And we know that folks will be very, very appreciative of that. So don't forget, that will be this upcoming Saturday, Heart of God Baptist Church, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And don't forget, as always, you can go back and listen to tonight's entirety. Just log into blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid, and you can go down to the on demand section and listen to all of the shows on demand, including tonight's show, which you'll be
That's
able
right.
to listen to probably about another 15 to 20 minutes. Pastor C.
Also, on the 25th, I believe it's from 1 to 5, we're also going to do a back to school program at Heart of God Baptist Church. And we're going to have, again, some live music and just giving positive messages out to the kids. And this is where we're going to be presenting this information about bullying. We're just challenging everyone that cares about the children to get involved. And just keep spreading the word that, you know, we're interested in the wellness of our community. This is a powerful resource. And, you know, when you have powerful resources, you need to get connected with them. You need to get connected. And that's what we're doing here at Pastors Aid CDC. And so, again, we thank everyone for listening. We want you to get excited about it. We want you to get involved. You know, send us a tweet. Send us a message on the Facebook. Let us know what you're doing to help your community get well in the area of bullying. And so now that you have the resource, Reb B, we need to
get connected.
Get connected.
Good night, guys.